All right, everybody else who remains, take your Bibles, please. If you have a Bible, whether it's paper or on your phone, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now, as we begin, how many know that some of us walked in today carrying things we didn't tell anyone about? Sometimes we come into places like these and we come with disappointments, fears, unanswered prayers. There may be quiet battles that are raging, yet here you are on Easter, the day hope rises. And I'm so excited that, so again, thank you so much for coming. I understand coming to something new, there's all the hurdles that you have to come overcome. And so thank you so much for being here. But today I just want to begin sharing a series, and we'll do this over the next few weeks, called Hope Rising. Because I believe that God wants to speak directly into the places in our lives where hope has been fading. Now what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of the future because of God. I love Jeremiah 29:11. It's actually one of my favorite verses, and it says this: "For I know the plans," this is God speaking to his people, "for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." How many here just want to make sure, like, you want to have a future? Like, some of you are like going, okay, you're planning for it, you're preparing for it. And what hope is it's a confident expectation of the future because of God. I know sometimes we watch the landscape of the world around us and we grow a whole lot of concerned. I know that there are some people like going, who would want to bring a child into this environment? Because look at all the chaos that's going on. And sometimes we look at the future and there's fear and there's uncertainty. But I believe that God wants to give us a hope and a future. And hope is so important that when hope diminishes in our lives, it has a significant impact upon us. So there was a town in Maine called Flagstaff. So a number of years ago, they were putting in a dam because they needed to build a reservoir in order to provide water for cities and stuff like that. And so there was a town called Flagstaff that when they would put in the dam, what would happen is this town would actually end up below the water line. Now, how many of you would like to live in a house below the water line? I mean, you know, property values just plummet kind of around then, right? And so one of the things that they noticed, because they knew that this dam was going in, that all these, you know, that this whole community is going to end up underwater, do you know what people stopped doing? People stopped caring for their houses. So then when there was something that was, you know, falling apart, it's like going, well, why fix this? Why deal with this? There's no future for this home. There's no, why put money? Why put resource? Because look, in just a few days, all of this stuff is going to be underwater. And it was kind of an interesting reflection. And one person was kind of like reflecting on this whole experience and simply said this: where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. And sometimes in our lives, we can live in that place where it feels like hoping is hard. How many know that hope is hard when yesterday's hurts still shape our today's? How many know hope is hard when our best efforts aren't enough? So I told you I grew up in a church, like in a basement. So anybody want to guess what my dad was? He was a pastor, right? And so it was kind of fun. So one of the things that our family did growing up is we would go around and we would do like kids services. It was kind of fun. And so my dad loved to do sermon illustrations, these fun little illustration things. And so one day he got a bunch of balloons and he's like, I'm going to demonstrate to people you don't know when the Lord's going to come. And so we're going to have kids blow up balloons until they pop, right? And you're trying to guessing when do you think the balloon's going to pop. It was kind of a fun thing. Well, not only did he get the round balloons, he got the animal balloons. How many remember the animal balloons? Right? The nice long ones. And it was great. So he passed out balloons to different kids. And, you know, one kid got the long, skinny balloon you make animals out of. And all the kids are blowing and everybody's starting to inflate their balloons. But there's this one animal balloon that just won't inflate. And this kid is trying so hard. And then so dad's like, well, I'll get somebody else. So we got somebody else and gave him a different balloon and said, okay, try and blow this one up. And the kid didn't. And my dad is just like going, fine, I'll do it. Because how many know preachers are, you know, long-winded? He's like, I got this. And so my dad grabbed this balloon, stretched it out a couple times, put it to his lips, and then blew. And it was great because like, okay, it's going to start going. And it didn't even begin to, it just like barely began to form the beginning of a bubble. And he's just like, I got to blow harder. And I'm sure in his mind, he's like going, I cannot disappoint all these people. I just have to keep going. And so he kept blowing and blowing and blowing. And all of a sudden, he passed out. Right in front of everybody. And it was great because everybody thought it was part of the show. Yay! And then my sister jumps up and is like, Dad! And, you know, like panic and pandemonium. And I was just thinking about that, because how many of us in our lives are like going, oh, man, I got to try. I got to try harder. And we try harder and harder and harder, and we put so much energy and effort in. And sometimes we just create a whole lot of chaos. And sometimes our best efforts aren't enough. Hope is hard. When something we've tried to build falls apart, where it feels sometimes that life is overwhelming or unfair. Sometimes it's hard to hope when we feel stuck, trapped, or exhausted. And I just want you to know this morning that hope is not an easy business. But it is easy to become cynical, to become jaded, and to become guarded. Because that's kind of how we experience. We live in this broken world, and this brokenness is something that we wrestle with. And so this idea of hoping, oh my goodness, guards can go up. But Easter really is God's antidote for people who have been burned by hope before. And really, Easter opens the door to new possibilities. And so I just want to share around this idea this morning that because Jesus rose, hope can rise in us. And if you're here this morning and you're wrestling with things, I just want you to know there is hope. And the reason there's hope is because of Jesus. So we're going to look in Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now, Luke, as he comes to, you know, the Bible, this book of Luke, just so you know, Luke comes to the story as an outsider who found hope in Jesus. He did not grow up around the teachings of Moses and all those things. He comes as an outsider into the story. And the story of Jesus was so profound and so compelling to him that he even investigated, and then through his research and investigation writes down the story of Jesus and the movement that he started. And his gospel is a reminder that hope is for everyone, even outsiders, the marginalized, the displaced. And in it, he doesn't just record the agony of the cross, he records the moment that everything changed. And so this is what I want to read, beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 24. It says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Everybody say, very early in the morning. How many of you were up very early this morning? Okay, good, some of us, very early. You guys are so like good, you're on top of it. You're an early morning people. No, Jenna's a nope. Okay, how many of you like early morning, nothing good happens early in the morning? Come on, where are those people in this place? Yeah, I kind of feel that at times to myself. Okay, anyways, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Just so you know, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Now look at verse 11. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. So I want to note just a few things from this passage this morning. The first is this, is that some days don't feel like new days. Anybody here have that moment you feel like it's just the same stuff, different day? Anybody have those moments? It's just the same thing. Some of us were like, we're going to look, life is going to be different, and then you have the thing and it's not different. How many of you thought you're going to have kids and it's going to make everything better? Right? And it did, didn't it? Yeah. Right? How many of you got married thinking marriage is going to make everything better? It's the new day. And then you woke up and go, oh, no. Right? That wasn't my experience. Right? But it's great that Luke begins this story with the women who deeply loved Jesus. They had seen his compassion, his healing, and his power. But now they're overwhelmed by grief and disappointment that Jesus, they watched him as he died on the cross and then he was put in a tomb. And because it was the Sabbath, they're like going, we can't do anything to even care for his body. Now, I don't know about you, but so like as a pastor, I end up in all sorts of interesting places. And sometimes I'm there at that time when people breathe their last breath. Or shortly thereafter, and then you just come into situations and circumstances. One of the most beautiful passings that I had an opportunity to be a part of was when these precious young ladies, there was a beautiful woman who was a part of our church whose name was Scotty. She was battling cancer, and then she ended up passing away because of it. And she didn't have daughters, but she had some nieces. And her nieces were there with her through the entire sickness. They would take turns coming in and out. And they were there with her when she breathed her last. And after she breathed her last and you know, the husband came in and his heart was broken and all of this. The husband left. And they said, you know what, we need to honor Scotty. And they dressed her up, and this was before the ambulance, before the funeral people came and picked up her body. And they're just like, we're going to make everything as beautiful as possible. And so they combed her hair. They cleaned her up. They positioned her so beautifully. They put flowers in her hands on her chest, along with a cross on from a necklace that she had around her hand. And so I wasn't there for her passing, but as soon as she passed, I was called and I came on in. And I walked in, I said, oh my goodness, look at the love that these wonderful women have and how they honored the presence of this person by doing so much. And part of that is cultural. Like in our culture, this was these people are from an Asian culture, and so they do have some different practices. But our culture isn't always quite like that. But in Jesus' time, like when someone passed away, like there was this need to make sure that we're honoring the person. And when Jesus died and they took him down from the cross, even though he had died a criminal's death, they wanted to honor him. But because of the Sabbath, they weren't able to. And so they're like going, well, we'll just make things ready so that first morning after the Sabbath, we can get up and we can go and we can do what we can just to honor him. See, for them, it was just the same stuff, but a different day. They were in their grief. They were in their disappointment. And now they're just dealing with the same day. And really, that's how often, that is often how we go through life. Some of you know exactly what it feels like. You're just trying to do the next best thing in a hard season. You may be exhausted and frustrated. It may be that you carry regret or you carry sadness. And like those women, you may not realize that God has actually been working behind the scenes, even in the dark, to prepare a new day. You see, some days don't feel like new days. But I want you to know this, that God is not absent in our days. He is actually working to bring something good. And so wherever you're at in your journey, wherever you are at in your story, I want you to know that some days don't feel like new days, But, this is number two, the resurrection of Jesus makes a new day possible. I love how it begins on the first day of the week. Just so you know, this wasn't just the start of a new week. It was, in some ways, the start of a new world. It kind of echoes this whole idea that if you've read the story of creation in Genesis, that it says, on the first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was a beginning. There was a new creation, a new beginning. And the thing that you need to understand, that when Jesus rose from the dead, it was the beginning of something new. It was the beginning of a new day. When the women arrived, the angels asked, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Those six words changed everything. He is not here. He has risen. Seven. Death, the greatest enemy, couldn't hold him. Now, I think this is so important because our lives are touched by death in so many different ways. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one. Sometimes it's the death of a dream or a death of a relationship. And this death stuff is kind of this intrusion, and we recognize there's something so wrong about it. That's why our hearts break. It's why we grieve. Yet God's intent was never that death would be a part of creation. Sin is an intruder. Sin is an intrusion into the things that God truly wants and desires for our lives. Yet sin came in because humanity chose their own way apart from God's. And because of sin, death ends up entering into the story of human experience. What is sin? Sin is more than just doing a wrong thing. I won't ask here, but anybody here ever do something wrong? Right, like a time or two, right? Like, and that was before, like, you know, 9 o'clock this morning. You know, like, it's like, we do this stuff. But I want you to know, sin is more than just doing a wrong thing. I grew up thinking that sin was just doing a wrong thing, and so if I just didn't do wrong things, then I wouldn't have sin. But sin really is so much more than just doing a wrong thing. It's really about recognizing or thinking that we know better than God how to get the good things for our lives. Because this is what the whole thing was. God says, listen, I got all this beautiful place for you. It just don't eat this. But I love the story of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, because we find out God says, stay away from this. And where does humanity show up? Right next to it. And when you were kids, how many of you, when you were kids, your mom and dad were like, don't touch it? And how many of you, you're like, this? Right? I remember mom saying, don't touch the iron, and I'm like, this? And then I get the blister on the end of the finger. It was a beautiful thing. But humanity said this, listen, we know better than God how to get good for our lives. And really, just so you know, this is the issue that all of us have, is that humanity has this hubris that thinks we know better than God how to get the good for our lives. We know what we want. We know the best way to get what we want. And ultimately what sin is it's an expression of pride against God, that we know better than you, God. We know better than the Creator how to get the good for our lives. But this is the thing we all know. How many know getting what you want doesn't always get you what you want? Some of us, we've been wanting things, and we thought, well, if we just get the thing we want, then we'll have what we want. But we get the thing we want, and we find out that wasn't quite what we wanted. And the thing that happens with sin that we all need to understand is that when sin entered into humanity, a power was set in motion in lives that we could not stop. You see, sin had broken our relationship with God. It broke the world around us, and it even broke things inside of us. And we have tried to fix it. We have tried to outrun the pace of death. We try to outsmart it. But sin kept winning. And when humanity couldn't outpace or outrun their sin, Jesus came to us. And the whole reason we celebrate this season as followers of Jesus is because we recognize that Jesus came and took our sin, and he paid the price so that you and I might know life. You see, it is through his resurrection that Jesus broke sin's power. And because of this, because of the resurrection of Jesus, a new day is possible, a new day of hope and a new beginning. The third thing I want to note from this is that good news doesn't always make sense at first. So it's fun as you read this account, the first preachers of the gospel were women who saw the empty tomb. I think this is fun. The first people who were just like going, "He's alive," were the women who came from the tomb. And the disciples, the people who walked closest with Jesus, didn't believe him. Isn't that like men? Just kidding. You guys, that was funny. Come on. Oh my goodness. Luke says this, is that the disciples, when they heard this thing, that Jesus was alive, I love what it says. Luke says their words sounded like nonsense. Okay, the word nonsense there means like the idea that babbling that defies logic. Like, they're just la, 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 and you're like, dude, you are making no sense. Anybody been in a conversation with someone, and you're like, it makes no sense. Are you kidding me? Like, oh my goodness. And just so you know, if Easter doesn't make perfect sense to you yet, you're actually in good company. But this is the thing you need to understand. There have been millions of people who have discovered across the centuries the amazingness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus, what we fear doesn't have to overwhelm us. And just so you know, the faith in Jesus doesn't take away fear. It just allows us to live beyond the fears that we wrestle with. Because of the resurrection, we know the end is not the end. Because of the resurrection, we are not defined by our past, but by his love. Anybody here have moments in your past you're not proud of? And have moments in your past you have a hard time getting past? And sometimes in our lives, we get defined by the stuff that we've done yesterday. But the grace of Jesus says this: you don't have to be defined by your worst moments, your worst mistakes, or by your yesterdays. You get to be defined by my love. Because of the resurrection, our tomorrows can be better than our todays. The good news may not make sense at first, but it makes all the difference. Okay, the last thing I want to note, and then we'll get ready to wrap. Easter is an invitation to experience something new. I love Peter's response in this passage. He didn't sit still. He didn't sit still. He didn't shrug it off. Instead, he ran to the tomb. Anybody here have a hard time sitting like for too long? Like, come on, I got to go do something. I love it because the ladies are like, hey, listen, he's risen from the dead. And the disciples are like, I'm not so sure about this. You're sounding kind of crazy. Sounds like some crazy talk going on here. And then Peter's like going, yeah, it sounds like crazy talk. But what if it's possible? Maybe I need to go see. And so he gets up and he begins to run to the tomb. And when he looked in, he saw the grave clothes lying there. And he walked away wondering. Have you ever wondered why the stone was rolled away from the tomb? It wasn't to let Jesus out. It was open so that you and I could look in. And this is the wonderful message about Easter. Easter is God's invitation to each one of us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, no matter what struggle we wrestle with. Easter is an invitation to you and to me to lean into his goodness and his grace, to open our hearts and let his life bring us to life. You see, because Jesus rose, hope can rise in us. And maybe you're in the place where you're wrestling with this whole idea of like new possibilities. Maybe there's some things you're wrestling with in your life and you're like going, hey, is it possible for a better tomorrow? I want you to know, because of Jesus, yes, there is. So how do you begin to experience it? I want to invite the worship team to come. How do you begin to experience new possibilities? How do you begin to experience new hope? You simply begin by recognizing your need. The truth is we don't just need a little hope. We need a new beginning. We need this thing called salvation. Salvation is about rescue, redemption, and restoration. Salvation is about helping us experience the forgiveness of sins. We cannot break the power of sins. We cannot find separation from our history by ourselves. We need the grace of Jesus. And Jesus has come to rescue us from our sins. Not only that, he's come to redeem us. And I love the idea of redemption because it's about God making something good out of our mess. I don't know about you, but in my life, I have a way of creating messes. But I have found this out. God is greater than our messes. And maybe you're wrestling with some mess in your life. I want you to know God is greater. And even out of the mess, he can bring something good. You see, he's a God who restores and makes us whole again. His love is greater than our mess. His power is greater than our problems. And what we need to do is we need to recognize, God, I just need you. And that involves us to do the next thing, which is this. It's taking a step of faith. This is doing the thing that Peter does where he actually begins to move. He doesn't stay where he's at. He says, you know what? I think I'm going to move. And he takes a step of faith. You see, faith in Jesus changes everything. It's not about pretending. It's about trusting the one who walked out of the grave. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, so this honest moment, you may not realize this, but there are times I have problems trusting. So I had a drive to Norwich yesterday, and so I punched in the address on GPS. And I was leaving from a different place than I've left before, and I was going to a place I've been to a few times, and the moment it started taking me, I'm like going, where is this stupid thing taking me? I'm like, what does Google really know? Can I get a witness on this one? Yeah, what do they really know, right? So it's kind of, so I like punch it in, and I start driving, and I'm like going, okay, like, I don't really trust this thing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing the things you're not supposed to do while I'm driving. I'm like, I'm playing on my phone. I'm like going, is this? I'm blowing things. I'm shrinking things. I'm like, where is this taking me? This doesn't look like the way I thought I would go. And just so you know, we all have trust issues at times, especially when it comes to trusting God, because God's like, listen, I'm going to get you from here to here, from the mess that you're in to something better. I'm going to help move you from what you're working with and struggling with, and I'm going to bring you to a place that's going to surprise and amaze you because my grace is real and my life is real in your life. And you're going to go, yeah, but I'm not sure I like this path. Are you really taking me this way? And can I tell you, part of this whole piece is saying, okay, God, I need you. But not only, Lord, do I need you, but God, I'm going to trust you. You see, God wants to take us to places. We have to trust the one who walked out of the grave. And for me, this always begins with a simple prayer and a simple repetition reminder. God, okay, God, help me trust you. God, when it's not making sense, Lord, help me trust you. We experience new possibilities as we realize our need, as we take steps of faith, and then as we learn to grow in his love. Just so you know, faith isn't the finish line, it's just the starting line. And we have a daily opportunity simply to grow in his grace. That the God who stepped out of the grave steps into our lives, not just on Sundays, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays, to meet us with his grace to help us move forward. Because Jesus is alive, hope is alive. Because Jesus rose, we can rise. Because Jesus walked out of the grave, you don't have to stay where you are. Hope is rising. And today it can rise in you. God loves us. It's what we celebrate. That we serve a God who wants to do something good in and through our lives. We just have to learn to trust him and lean into his presence. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you that you love us. Lord, I thank you so much that you are working in our moments and in our days. Lord, I thank you that because you rose, hope can rise in us. And Lord, what I'm asking this morning is that you would begin to breathe grace and breathe life to each one here. Father, I understand. Lord, we live in a broken world. And God, there are things that we are messed up by, and there are messes that we've made. And God, we need your grace to help us. Lord, I thank you that you love us and that you arose. That, Lord, in you is life, and you love to bring life to people. And God, into our lives, we ask today that you would bring life. Lord, I pray that you would grant us and give us greater hope. Because, God, we need you. Now, just as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, let me just ask a couple questions this morning. How many here would just simply say, you know what? I'm wrestling with some situations in my life. Some people may know about them. Other people may not. And you're just like going, you know what? God, I just need a little bit of hope. I need a little bit of grace in my life. God, I just need some hope today. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And if you're here and you're saying, you know what? Man, I'm wrestling with some areas and I just need some hope spoken over them. It could be a marriage. It could be finances. It could be dealing with your kids. It could be life situation. It doesn't matter. You're saying, God, I need some hope. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray with you this morning. I see those hands, and that one. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith in Christ. And you're saying, you know what? I need Jesus. I need his grace to begin something in me. Maybe you need a new beginning. And Jesus came in order that you and I might have new beginnings. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I need a new beginning. I want a new beginning in Jesus. I want you to know that he knows all of our stuff. He sees it, and he still loves us and promises to do something good in and through our lives. And so if you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what, I would love, God, I need a new beginning. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, because I'm going to pray with you as well. See that hand. Thank you. Lord Jesus, you see the hands and you see the hearts in this place. You see every need. You see every concern. And God, I'm just asking that your grace and mercy would just begin to surround, to strengthen, and to support. Lord, you are so good, and you've come that we might have life. And Father, I pray that hope would continue to arise in our hearts. Lord, that you would begin something even in this moment. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word that changes us and transforms us. God, we need you. In Jesus' name. I want to invite you to stand. Our worship team's going to lead us in a song. Maybe you lifted your hand this morning saying, hey, you know what? I need a little bit of hope. I'm just going to stand down here. Now, in our church, just so you know, we're okay with noise. Can I get an amen on that one? All right, we're okay with noise, and we're okay with movement. Okay? So I think faith moves. And maybe you're here and you're saying, hey, you know what? I just need someone just to pray with me. Just that point of contact. The worship team's going to lead us. I'm just going to stand down over here. If you'd like, I'll pray with you this morning. I'll join hands with you, and we'll just believe together for God to touch your situation specifically. But I'm so grateful that we have a God who loves us. And my prayer is that hope will continue to rise in our hearts.